Today I'm going to talk about depression. I don't know, it seems like to me that people just want to be depressed. And hear me out. Anytime someone is sad, they say they're depressed. Depression is a mental illness to which one loses hope or courage. The actual definition of depression is feeling of severe despondency and dejection. Despondency is a state of low spirit caused by loss of hope or courage. Depression has many things that makes a person mentally ill. For example, mood swings, suicidal thoughts, and I mean serious suicidal thoughts. The reason why I hate people saying they are depressed is because when you're telling yourself you're depressed all the time, you then make yourself depressed. Just like when someone calls you fat, and if you keep telling yourself you're fat, then that's all you're going to be. Depression may be a mental illness, but it can definitely be overcome. The problem today is that people tell others and themselves that they're depressed, and it's like they are fine with it. Like, they don't try. They give up so easily. In the end, you're the only person you can blame. You have the choice to get up, get help, but they just want to blame someone. Depression isn't something that comes and goes. If it's there, it's there. It's not going anywhere. People learn to live with depression, suicide. All it does is end the pain for you, but causes so much pain for the people that actually care and love for you. You might be a teenager, someone around my age, maybe older, younger, but why would you kill yourself? You have a lot of years of life, and you're going to end it all because of harsh words. People need to toughen up a bit. They get their feelings hurt way too easy. Always looking at the negativity of everything. Why not try seeing the positivity in everything? I mean, it's not hard. I mean, if, say, someone's making fun of you, like, I don't know, say you're scrawny or, you know, something, go work out, you know? Let their words of negativity be your source of motivation. And you have to start thinking of different ways instead of, oh, I'm depressed, I'm sad, you know, because that's just you feeling bad for yourself, you know? Whenever I'm talking to somebody and I'm like, what's wrong, you know, and they're like, I'm depressed, I'm like, you know, how, you know, what's bothering you, what's wrong, can I help? I'm always there to help people because that's what I genuinely want to do. I mean, that's why I'm making this podcast. It's because I want to reach out to people, I want to help people. I mean, I was just writing a thing about child suicide. You know, there's 13-year-olds, 6-year-olds, I mean, they're young children that shouldn't even be able to mentally comprehend or understand anything about depression or suicide or anything like that, but they still do, you know. And I think technology, our phones, social media is a huge problem of this, along with schools. I mean, they bully all the time. You know, if you're getting bullied, you know how it is. Hold on, let me get a drink of water. It's rough. But, like, you gotta... bullying is never, ever going to go away. And you can't simply just take it. So, you need to take and find something positive in the negativities that come into your life. Because if you're always negative all the time, how are you gonna expect anything positive to happen? If you're depressed and you're laying in bed all the time, you know, you're going to be depressed even more. And you're going to keep slipping deeper and deeper and deeper because you're literally laying there doing nothing but thinking about all those bad thoughts. And what you need to do is go out, be active, go grow some plants, go do art, go socialize with people, go to the gym, go run, you know, go around picking up trash around, you know, your community, help better your community, do something good to somebody else, hopefully it'll make you feel better. You know, go out and put some positivity into your life, because if you don't put positivity in your life, then if you can't act and put positivity in your own life, yourself, then how are you ever going to get anywhere? That's like asking, I don't know, that's like asking a rooster to pop a fucking egg. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen, you know? It's like The dishes are going to do themselves. It's not going to happen. And that's what people don't understand is, yeah, I get depression. It's hard. It's rough. My mom went through it. She actually took her own life because of it, you know, and I had to deal with that a lot. And I have my own problems, but we're not here about me. I'm trying to help other people. You know what I mean? But you can't just expect to lie around and do nothing and expect something. It doesn't work like that. You have to be willing to put in the effort, put in the work. Like, one of my favorite quotes is from Sylvester Stallone on the Rocky Balboa movie in 2006. It says, "Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshines and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't as hard as you. It isn't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits. And not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. Until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life." And I really took that at heart, because a lot of time that's how it is. You know, people with depression or, you know, just everyday problems, they're always looking to point a finger at someone to blame. You know, I'm depressed because of this person, or I'm depressed because of this person, which is probably true. You know, I'm not downing anybody. I'm here to support everyone on here. I'm here to help people. I want to be able to talk to people, give out my opinions, you know, try to motivate people and all that. I want to help people in whatever way I can. And if it does some good, I'm happy. You know, if it helps even one person, I'm happy. You know, I'm here for you guys. I'm here for whoever wants to listen, whoever needs it. Whoever needs a little bit of motivation in their life. Another thing is, you just got to change the way you think. Don't be so focused on why he or she did this or, you know, whatever else. You know, be focused on positive things, you know. Because people with depression, they have a specific mindset, and it's like everyone's out to get them. You know, nobody likes them. Nobody wants to be around them. You know, people always freaking stabbing you in the back, taking advantage of you, ripping you off, you know, and that's things that happen every day. But you are in control of your own happiness. Just like, what's his name said? I guess, let's see, it's The Pursuit of Happiness. Of happiness. You have to be in pursuit of. You have to be in pursuit of your own happiness. Because guess what? There's 7.4 billion people in the world, and you're going to tell me that, you know, you're depressed because this one person did something to you, or these few people did something to you? I mean, if you are able to physically do something about your situation and what's got you feeling this type of way, do something about it. Take and find that thing that's making you feel all these nasty things and take and block them out of your life. If you need a break from social media, take a break from social media. Social media will stress you out. It'll spike your depression or spike your anxiety. It'll worsen your depression. It'll do a lot of things. Not to mention, a lot of the times it just hurts because, like, you might post something on Snapchat that, you know, a picture of you that you think looks, you know, hella good. And then somebody says, oh, hey, you're fat, you know. See, and what you could do there is, that person called you fat, right? That's supposed to be a negative word, right? Well, he's telling me I'm fat, so I'm going to take something positive like this. Like, hey, you know, maybe I should work out. Then people won't call me fat. You know what I mean? Do something yourself. You can't expect other people to do it for you. I mean, like I said, until you start believing in yourself, you ain't got a life. You have to believe in yourself. You have to get up daily. You have to fight the fight. You can't just lay down in a battlefield. You know what I mean? Because that's what people do, is they lay down in the battlefield. Depression is a battlefield. You're constantly fighting, day in, day out. Never ends. It's an endless cycle of thoughts. But you just need to take and change those thoughts. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be extremely hard. And another thing about it is a lot of people don't forgive others. And you really do need to forgive others. Maybe not for them, but for yourself. Because if you don't forgive others for yourself, then you just give them power over you. I mean, because you hold a grudge and you're angry at them, and they're over there all giggling and stuff, and you're over here mad. They have power over you. You know? I mean, if there's something or someone in your way, figure out, I mean, use your head, you know? If there's a tree blocking your way, what are you going to do? You can't go straight through it, obviously, so you're going to go either around it or above it. You know what I mean? Figure something out. There's always a way. And it might not be right now. It might not be, you know, for a couple years, but it's a fight. You know what I mean? And you need to keep telling yourself, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. You know, everything's going to be all right. I got this. You are in control of you. All right. Don't let depression take control of you, because that's what a lot of people do. And that's why a lot of people lay in bed and think about all those negative thoughts, worsening their depression, you know, stressing them out, you know, making them have suicidal thoughts, you know. There's a lot of things. And when you just give up like that, you know, how are you going to do that? I mean, and there's always someone out there that's going to love you, all right, for you. I don't know who that is. You might not know who that is, but there's someone, you know. There can't be anybody likes you. Nobody loves you. It can't happen. There's 7.4 billion people in the world. There's somebody, you know. And there's plenty of people to talk to, like, during this video, you can actually go check the description or whatever, and check out the number for the national. If I can find it, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. You'll find that number down there, and and if you don't feel like calling them, you can also just take and text the crisis text line. Just all you have to do is text hello at 741-741. All right. And if you just need someone to talk to, if you want to talk to me, I have social media, and I'll put all my social media accounts down in the description for you guys, just in case you want to come talk to me. And I would love it if you guys would take and message me and tell me about topics that you want me to talk about. If there's something going on and you need some advice or whatever else, you know what I mean? And like I said, I'm not here to, you know, do anything else other than help people who need help. Because obviously, if you're finding this podcast, that means that's a sign, you know, you might need help, you know, and there's no shame in that. Depression is a hard fight, you know, a lot of people lose, you know, and it's really hard to fight alone. That's one thing, you can't fight depression alone. You need somebody there with you to help you through it, to motivate you, to support you, to help you out when you get down, you know, someone just to be there for you to have a shoulder to cry on, to just feel comforted, feel loved, you know what I mean? You need to find someone like that. And these people that go around saying, you know, mean stuff about you, like, okay, brush it off your shoulder. Guess what? They're missing out on an amazing person. You know, you're unique. You are you. You're the only person that's ever going to be you. You know what I mean? So if they want to miss out, they can go have a friend out of the other 7 billion people, you know? You know, I mean, just go. Don't be sinking to please others. Don't ever seek to please others. I mean, you can to a certain point, like, say if it's, like, your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever else, or your family. Obviously, you want to please them, you know, but really the ones that really love you, you don't have to please. You just have to be you. You know what I mean? Depression really is a hard battle. My mother lost to that battle. I wasn't there for it. I knew she had been battling depression, bipolar depression, for a while. And I actually found her probably around when I was about 5 or 6 years old. We were living in this little trailer down in Ramona. And she went up into the stairs and she locked the door behind her where the stairs go up into the attic. And she had this cord, like a cord to a fan or something like that. And then she took and hooked it up and she wrapped it around her neck and she tried to kill herself then. And then I was looking for her. I go and I'm looking for her and I open that door and I see her like that. And I start, you know, flipping out. My grandpa he flips up the couch, grabs the machete and he takes and chops the cord off. And then my mom promised that she would never do anything like that ever again. But on October 16th, 2016, she took her life and broke that promise to me. She actually went and dressed up in a blue dress that was actually, you know, for like the family of the bride, you know. She had my Aunt Mary's blue wedding dress on, along with a cross, laying on the couch with a bowl of her prescribed medication. Let me get a water. And she just took and lay down after she wrote her little suicide note. Sorry, guys. She wrote her little suicide note, and she took a handful of pills. And I was actually spending the night with my best friend at the time, which I did pretty much every night. And, well, that's actually when she did it. And I went back the next morning. We were actually supposed to go to school, but I ended up skipping because I felt really, really sick. And so I went home. I didn't even notice my mom on the couch. I was feeling really, really sick. And I went straight to my mom's room on her bed and just passed out. And then my best friend that I was spending the night with, he actually came to my house around noon to get me up. And I got up and I felt so terrible. Like if my chest hurt, my throat hurt, I was coughing, my head hurt, everything. And I'm walking out of my mom's room through the hall into the living room and I see my mom laying there. And she's supposed to be at work and she's got like these little purplish thing or like her legs just kind of purplish, you know, like hives. And she looked, you know, cold, you know, like a lifeless body, a corpse. And I took and I felt her leg and they were ice cold. It was ice cold. And I went up to her neck to feel her pulse and I barely even had to do anything. All I had to do was barely stick my finger up to her throat or to her neck. And I immediately jerked back because her neck literally felt like there was a, you know, a block of ice in her neck. It was awful. But, and then it just wasn't ever the same. Because now I don't even get to see my sister anymore. Hardly ever. Like, the last time I seen her was like 2, maybe 3 years ago. And I just now met my other two sisters that my mom had with another guy named, what was his name? Andrew, I think. Something like that. But, yeah. And they were my two older sisters. Name was Natalie and Echo, and my littlest is Rain. But I don't ever get to see them anymore. I wish I could. I'm going to talk about these two kids that committed suicide because of bullying. Ryan Hilligan. He committed suicide by hanging. This young soul was being bullied at school as well as being cyberbullied. The bullies were making comments about Ryan's sexuality. To make matters worse, even his own girlfriend joined in, telling online friends that their relationship was a joke, he couldn't take anymore, and he hung himself on October 7th, 2003. This child was only 13 years old. And see, that's the kind of impact words can have. That's why I say that, you know that saying they used to tell you back in elementary and stuff, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but those wounds can heal. And words hurt more than anything, and they'll leave a unhealable mark forever, you know? And it's crazy, and people don't really understand that whenever they take and say these things about people, that it really brings them down. And I don't understand what they have to be, I don't understand why they do this, what they get out of it, you know, if they get a laugh out of it. I mean, why are you laughing at making fun of someone when, and then they go and kill themselves? I mean, how would you feel if you made fun of somebody and they went and killed themselves? I would feel terrible. I don't even know what I would do. Because that's, I mean, I even hate to hurt people. I mean, hurt people's feelings, and I feel guilty. I feel bad for the rest of the day. You know, I'm sitting there thinking like, wow, I mean, I really hurt them, you know. I was really mean to them, which I'm usually not. I'm usually a pretty cool guy. But still, it's things like that. I mean, these kids, they don't understand the gravity of the words that they use. They don't understand the gravity of what they're doing about posting about this child's, this 13-year-old child's sexuality. Like, he's 13. He shouldn't even know that word. He should know that word for, you know, school and stuff. But, you know, they shouldn't even be talking about sexuality. They're 13. And not to mention that in today's society, everyone's, you know, losing their virginity about anywhere between about 13, 14 to about 16, usually. And that's where a lot of trust issues come, a lot of problems, because your body isn't physically ready for sex. You know what I mean? It's not. That's why they made the legal age 18. And I know you can give your own consent and stuff at 16, but still doesn't mean you're ready for sex. And that's what usually tears a lot of women up, is because they take and fall in love at super early age, like 13 to 16, you know, or even younger than that, you know. And they're like, oh, I love this guy. And then they go and have sex with him. And then, you know, he's a fuckboy, obviously. And he breaks her heart. And now she has that image of love in her head for the rest of her life. She's always going to be heartbroken by that guy. You know what I mean? It's like crumbling up a piece of paper and saying sorry to it. It's not going to fix it. All right, let's go to the next guy. Tyler Clementi. He's really good at the violin. He could have been a violinist. He was born on December 19th, 1991. And he died on September 22nd, 2010. This 18-year-old boy had just graduated high school and was going to a university. He had just started to come out of the closet about his sexuality, being attracted to men. Nowadays, that's not a problem for most people. His new roommate, Darium Rabbi, respected Tyler's request for privacy. Little did Tyler know that his new roommate had put a hidden camera in his room, recording him and the people he would date, secretly sending intimate footage of Tyler and his dates. The videos end up to his friends. The videos end up going viral, making Tyler the biggest target for ridicule. Tyler then became overwhelmed by a mix of emotions. He then jumped off the George Washington Bridge, killing himself. See, and a lot of people nowadays don't have to worry about their sexuality because they don't have to worry about anything like that nowadays, for the most part, because it's pretty much accepted nowadays. But, you know, back then, this was wrong. He was ridiculed for liking men, and that's not right. I mean, it's not his fault he's attracted to men. I mean, how are you gonna blame a guy for that? You know what I mean? It's messed up. It's wrong. And people don't understand how much words hurt. It obviously hurts enough to drive somebody to suicide. I mean, there's no need for all this hate in the world.